all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today, Shelley Rood, an Army veteran. Shelley, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim. It's my honor to be a part of the show today.
Well, we're glad to have you on to bring a different perspective. That's what we try to do on Veterans Radio, is give a lot of different perspectives about veterans and their service and their integration back into civilian life. And you're doing some cool things, so we wanted to get you out there. But let's start with how did you find your way into the military?
Oh, it's a twisted path, actually. So I didn't even know that anyone in my family ever served in the military until I said, hey, I'm going to join the Army. And then all of a sudden I discovered that both of my grandfathers had served and, you know, that we did have a lineage behind us. But it was never something that was talked about. When I was in high school, I graduated at the age of 19. I went to Western Michigan University. And I was scared to death of the freshman 15. That's where, you know, the really attractive women go off and they come back 15 pounds heavier. And I was so shallow and so vain at that point in my life that I joined ROTC because they had an outdoor survival skills program. And I thought, this will keep me in shape.
Well, you found a lot more than just running and calisthenics in ROTC. How were your experiences with ROTC?
Absolutely. And, you know, even just that one class, I had no ambitions whatsoever to join. But through that class, I got introduced to the Bronco Rifle Team, which is 22 small bore caliber shooting. And it turns out that I am a phenomenal shot. Who would have known? So I actually made my way into being the captain of the rifle team. And the rifle team is run by the ROTC department, and really just seeing the juxtaposition between your normal college student and the Greek life with those of us that are in the ROTC program, those that were joining the military when they graduated, you know, things like duty, honor, selfless service, respect, those values were so deeply ingrained in them, and that's how I was raised. And it was so attractive to be around such inspiring people that, you know, over a couple of semesters, a couple of years there, I thought, why am I not? You look at what the incredible people are doing. I need to be jumping on this train. And I did. So by the time I was a junior at Western Michigan, I went ahead and signed up. I continued 2 years as an SMP cadet. So that means that you serve in the Army Reserves while you're also a cadet in school. And then once I graduated, I served 16 years in the Army Reserves.
It's sort of interesting. We hear from a lot of people who joined ROTC because they needed the money for school. You approached it differently and sort of got pulled into it because you said, geez, my values, they're right in a line with this group of folks, and maybe this is something I'm very comfortable with. So you didn't go after it because it was a way to get college paid for. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, I was raised with a family of, you know, Detroit business owners. I worked construction. I paid my way through college. My parents helped me out because they saved their money so that they could. To this day, you know, I just finished my first year in seminary, which is a master's program, and I'm debt free. And I do it because I believe that money is a resource from God and He gives it to us. And we are charged with proper management and proper investment of it. And so, no, I didn't join the military for monetary purposes. I've always been confident in my ability to make things happen in that world. It really was a matter of what do I want to be with my life and who do I want to be around and partner with to make great things happen.
So tell us a little bit about your 16-year career.
Well, I've been in over 10 different units. I was actually married to an active duty Army Ranger. Those are very wonderful men, very difficult men. I'm just teasing.
It's
after 9
true.
Years
Come
of marriage. Yeah. Oh, it's so true. But, you know, after 9 years of marriage, we are one of those that didn't make it. We didn't. You know, you got a couple deployments in there. We had the birth of a child in there. And it, we just grew completely apart, different paths, different values. So I've been through the struggles on all sides of it, and trying to hold down a military career and trying to hold down a successful civilian career. You know, so my military career, never really had the opportunity to take the front lines. I'm jealous of those of you veterans that had the opportunity to say, yes, I committed 4 years active duty, 8 years active duty, you know, 25 years active duty. I think that's incredible. The Army never gave me that opportunity. I tried to go active duty at multiple points in my career, and the reserves kept saying, no, we need you reserve.
Well, and there certainly is a role for our reserve and National Guard components. I think sometimes they get downplayed, but unfortunately, over the last decade or two, the importance of those roles have been highlighted with those who've received orders maybe for a year at a time or more to Afghanistan or somewhere else in the sandbox. So the Guard and Reserve are really key components to our military strength and strategy. And I suspect that you felt that way spending 16 years in the Army Reserves.
And, you know, Jim, you couldn't be more right. It's a hot-button topic for me. There's a lot of veterans out there who believe that you can't or couldn't claim veteran status unless you have those active duty years. You know, and it's been a joy for me to represent the other side of it, of saying for 16 years of my life, it's been interrupted by constant training, constant drills, always gone. You know, I spent 6 months of my life out at Fort Huachuca at one point, only to turn around and go back 2 weeks, come home, then turn around and go back for 2 weeks. You know, and for somebody to say that I haven't served my country or I've served it lesser than some of us who are on the same team, it's a really difficult fight to talk. So, you know, for anybody who kind of has those hesitations or genuinely thinks that reservists and National Guardists are at a lower level than they've served, I just want to encourage them to have open conversations about the challenges that we face, because they're very different and they're very unique. And I don't think that we should have to apologize that our country did not call us up.
Well, and I think that distinction may have had more meaning 3 or 4 or 5 decades ago, but certainly, as I say, in the last 2 decades, it's a meaningless distinction in my mind. And unfortunately, Congress, the VA, way it defines categories of people, have kept that distinction alive, and I think that's unfortunate.
So it is. It's very politically driven and very money driven. You're absolutely correct.
So, as somebody who spent that time in the reserves both on bases as well as one of the other challenges of reserve and guard folk is that, you know, they're in the community. How did you see the perception of people change, if at all, about a woman being in the military during your career?
That's such a great question. You know, as a career woman also, you know, I'm kind of like fighting to have a strong foothold here in so many different areas of life. as a woman in the military, you know, I will say this, I feel like more opportunity was handed to me in my military position, because it wasn't ever a question of, can she do the job? You are expected to do the job. When you have the rank, when you have the title, when you have the position, you know, you will do it. It's not a matter of can you or are you capable. Whereas in the civilian side, it's almost like you're constantly proving. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, I will never work for corporate again, because I am horribly frustrated with trying to prove myself, trying to earn that promotion, right, trying to get that next level raise, and I'm just over it. You know, it's so great to be so accomplished and at this point in my life, where I know the value and I know my service, and I can really just take pride in so many of the accomplishments and what the meaning of life is really all about.
Well, I think it's a very interesting time to be a veteran entrepreneur, with so many men and women coming out of service and active duty deployments and others to say, yeah, you know, I'm not going to go work for the man anymore. I've done that. I'm now marching to my own drum. and get into the business world and become an entrepreneur in a small business way to take care of your family. I think this is the, you know, we'll be looked back on as the golden time to do that. Tell us a little bit about how you decided, hey, there's enough support out there and there's enough opportunity out there. I'm going to start my own business and go in that direction.
So I actually have a 7-year broadcast television career in my past as a director of marketing and brand management for a number of TV stations down south. And I also have a 5-year fitness industry career, both working, you know, on the low end of being a personal trainer to learn the industry all the way up to gym management and region management and just business consulting. So through all of that experience, really recognizing that even if somebody else writes my paycheck, it's still my paycheck. And I actually started my own business many years ago, but never attached the veteran or the military title to it. So I dug my way through the business world, you know, successfully, but to a point. I kept feeling like I wasn't breaking through. I wasn't making a difference. Maybe I'm just, you know, not good enough in business yet, and maybe there's other things I still need to learn. And I'll be honest with you, Jim, it was another veteran who I inspired to own her veteran title that she told me I needed to own it a little bit more. And then as soon as I did that, I slapped the veteran and military title onto my company, and it has been night and day. And I wrestle with it because it's very important that being veteran and being military is not a novelty. You know, we're not a promotional ham to be thrown around, but at the same time, that's where opportunities come from. And I genuinely struggle with it. You know, I was just talking with another group of veterans earlier this afternoon about how you go to restaurants and they have a special menu and they say a certain percentage of it goes back to vets or whatever. And then you look and it's like half of the percentage of profit, right? So you're using me as a marketing ploy. You're not helping me. Whereas, you know, on the veteran side of it, it's a right to be able to claim, like, yes, I am a veteran. And yes, I am helping other military people with how I'm giving back to the world through my business.
Well, I think many veterans, and it sounds like you and me included, feel somewhat uncomfortable saying, hey, we're a veteran and that should give us some status. But largely, I think it's more about, you mentioned, you know, brand marketing and things. And when you say you're a Western Michigan Bronco, I have a certain image of your experiences. And when you tell me you're an Army vet and you were in the reserves for that long, I have another image of what that means, what qualities you must bring to the table. And I think that's what you have to get comfortable with. Do you find veterans having a challenge getting comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And, you know, Jim, here's the hard line that I like to talk about. It's not about yourself. It's about the other people in the world. My life genuinely stands for serving others first, putting others over yourself, however you define that, whatever that looks like. If you don't have a solid conception of your personal identity, if you're not owning the experiences of your life, then you're still being selfish. You're still being self-centered. Once you really grasp that, then you'd be so surprised at how much you can really pour out to other people.
Well, you know, we're veteran radio risk listeners. We are talking to Shelley Rood, who's the co-founder of Mission Ambition. And I can assure you that those sirens were not coming to get her. So... Shelley, tell us about Mission Ambition.
So Mission Ambition is my head company. It's the big one. It's the umbrella of consulting that everything, all my fun entrepreneurial projects can fall under. Mission Ambition is, I'm a public speaker. I love the stage. I love the crowd. It's a gift from God to be able to stand up there and not be nervous, right? It's all about the message that comes through me. So from public speaking to any types of workshops, training, I speak on women empowerment, leadership, sales training. So through that, I really have created a platform for myself of where do we go from here, right? And I started to collect a following of other women, and there was something that these women had in common. They are kick butt women just like me. They're female firefighters and police officers. They would come hear me talk, and then they'd follow me, and they're business owners, they're donut shop owners, they're doctors and lawyers. But they love this strong woman that I represent, right? And so we decided last year that we were really going to give them a home. So we developed a community called Missilia, and Missilia is Latin for a group of missiles. And we define ourselves as women who kick butt. You do not have to show your DD-214 to join Missilia. You know, if your mother is a kick butt woman, she is welcome in the group. But it's really created as a way to form mental resiliency amongst our American heroes. A couple of statistics I'll throw out at you. 42% of female veterans say that they don't feel respected and valued. That breaks my heart. I hate that statistic. I don't understand that statistic. How come when you call 911 and the strong female grabs her gun and runs out the door to save your life, why does she not feel respected and valued? Another statistic I'll throw out at you has to do with the suicide rates. A female veteran suicide rate is double that of a civilian woman. There's something genuinely amiss amongst our heroes. And I think it really comes down to this idea of embodying the self-identity, that it's okay to be a strong woman. You don't have to have 16 pounds of makeup in your car to define you as a woman. And Missilia does just that. It brings all the women together, and we support it through a subscription box. So this is like a Birch Box or a Bark Box, something that is delivered to your door every month. We put beauty items and tactical items in the boxes. And the best part about the boxes, Jim, is that we actually share the story of one of our members. We feature her every month. She's called our Missilette. And she doesn't have to be, you know, a service member. We've done police officers. We've done Vicky Rad for last month, for the month of December. She is one of the former presidents of the group Women in Defense. She's never served a day in her life, and yet her entire civilian career has been dedicated to the defense industry of America. She deserves an award.
Well, I think it's really necessary for people to get out and talk about this, really a disconnect that women veterans would have such a high suicide rate compared to those in the civilian world, or that such a high percentage of them would not feel the respect or honor that they deserve, that they earned by their service. Do you have an explanation for why this is, Shelley?
You know, Jim, we don't fit in. You know, when I go to, like, a women's networking group is the most awkward thing for me to go to. We don't fit in. No matter where we go, it's like we don't fit in. We fit in with the guys. We fit in at an MMA fight. You know, we're just a different type of woman. And it's not to take away from other types of women. It's just that we are who we are. And I feel like a lot of times we feel very ostracized from how society wants us to behave. And that exists even within the military. You know, that's why those statistics are so high. I will tell you personally, some of just the most demeaning comments that I've had said to me as a woman businesswoman have come from fellow veterans. And those hurt even more. You know, people make silly comments, like someone handed me something and called me peepers. Because I have big eyes. You know, it's an inappropriate comment at an inappropriate place. It's a networking meeting. You know, I don't know why certain people feel like they can get away with saying things off the cuff like that. And it comes back to this feeling of, it's almost like we have to fight just to exist. Why should we have to fight just to be who we are?
Well, I think there's a lot of cultural issues and stereotypes that sort of get magnified under the heat and pressure of military service. This is clearly does not justify it, but it tries to explain it a little bit. We see it in the service academies. We see it in the enlisted ranks. We see it in the officer ranks. And I think you have to talk about it and call it out if you're going to break that cultural stereotype and let that pressure and heat, you know, dissipate or go in another direction, not to keep causing this. So, I think it's great that you're out talking about these issues and encouraging other strong women who kick butt to, hey, talk about it too, and don't feel that they have to change their own self, their own personality, to sort of fit in.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jim, it's a fun conversation to have. It really is. You know, the civilian population, when they think of the American soldier, they think of Captain America, right? And when they learn the stories about those of us that have been in, I mean, we're dirty. We're gritty. We sin like no other. And that's the reality of what it means to be a part of the military culture. And to a civilian, they can't understand that. They can't grasp that. They think, well, why are they so dirty? Why are they so gritty? You know, they're supposed to be Captain America. And the answer to that is, in reality, we're fighting wars. We are asked to do things that no human being should be asked to do, but it's biblical, and we stand up for it, and we take the punch, and we go into the fight. And it plays, you know, games with your mind, and there's so much spiritual warfare that goes on inside of us that most people can never understand. And it truly comes down to what you do with this radio program and what so many of our good veterans who are working in mental health field really are trying to do. It's just, let's talk about it. It's okay that you're broken. It's okay that you're weird. It's okay that you're harsh. Let's just talk about it, because we still love you and you still have a place in the world.
We've had a number of guests on Veterans Radio, Shelley Rood, who's the owner of Mission Ambition. We've had a number of guests, Shelley, who've talked about sort of that moral injury of war, or having to prepare for war. And while I don't want to head necessarily down a whole other conversation with you, it sounds like some of that, solving some of that for yourself, has been more education, moving into the seminary, sort of getting right with things from a more spiritual perspective.
Yes. You know, one thing that was really striking to me just recently, within the last year in my reserve unit, you know, we got to re-up for our dog tag. So you go up to the list, there's hundreds of names. You put your name down, you put your service number down, and you put your religion down. Jim, I was floored that out of the hundreds of names, maybe five people actually put something down for religion. That doesn't show me that we're not a religious community. That shows me that there's a lot of people who are lost, who are not asking the questions.
Well, I think there's a whole other conversation we can have around that issue in the future, and I think we will. Shelley Rood of Mission Ambition, if people want to find out some more about what you're up to or your projects, how do they keep in touch and find that out?
I'm not hiding. You can Google me. It's Shelleyrood. You can find any number of media hits, podcasts, webcasts, and things that I've been on, just like tonight. The website is missionambition.org, and those gift boxes, that women's community, is missilia.us. That's missilia.us. Thank you for having me, Jim. It's been an absolute honor.
Well, we're glad that you were able to spend some time with Veterans Radio today, and keep up the fight for all women who kick butt. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.